This week on the podcast, we have two people that have been on many times before, but as the years have gone by, we all get together less and less frequently. The last time we all got together was December of 2017. Now, this could be a sign that we're all getting too busy, and that's not a bad thing. It's a Black Coffee Brigade Summit. It's Damian Abraham and Nick Flanagan. Sometimes Damian from Fucked Up stops by and hangs out too. Damian Abraham needs no introduction, but I will give him one anyway. Singer of the fantastic punk rock sextet Fucked Up, he's also done Canadian Cannabis, his docuseries on weed for Vice TV, and Bloodlust, his extreme wrestling doc, also for Vice, and The Wrestlers, a 10-part docuseries on global independent wrestlers, also for Vice. He hosts his own podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts, called Turned Out a Punk, and he's guested on this podcast more times than any other guest in the 8 years I've been doing this. I've introed Damian so many times that you can scan the feed of this podcast to hear past intros, but I think he knows, and you know, how I feel about him. He's a good friend, and I'm always happy when he guests on here. Nick Flanagan is still my co-host for this thing, but he's rarely popped by over the last few years. Now that Nick has moved back to Toronto, however, I'm guessing he'll probably be on more future episodes, but he's recently started his own podcast called Nick Flanagan Weekly. That's spelled W-E-A-K-L-Y. That might make him a little too busy to swing by. It's on iTunes and Spotify, so check it out if you want more Nick. We got together here and then again on Nick's podcast a week later, and I think we're due for an appearance on Turned Out a Punk, the three of us guesting on each other's podcasts, and I like that. If you want to hear us continue our conversation, go to Nick's podcast to listen to part two, which was uploaded before this one, and Damian's podcast might host part three sometime in the near future. That's about it. Let's start. The Daniel Jones podcast is the best around. Nick Flanagan is Nick's co-host. Hello for free. I'm so glad I do sometimes. Damian from Fucked Up. Stop playing. Hang down.
There's only one podcast to listen to in this world, and that's the Danko Jones Podcast. Don't be a dick. Don't be an ass. Just listen to the Danko Jones Podcast.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready because the Danko Jones Podcast starts now!
All right, so we're finally starting after a couple of false starts, and it's been 2 years since we've all been together on this podcast, and now we can say we all have a podcast.
This is a three podcaster meeting. A
podcast
of the minds.
Yes,
you are the father that begat all these podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's been on my podcast, and then you guys have started your podcasts with greater receptions.
You think mine has a greater reception?
Yeah, you're doing really, really good.
No.
You're on YouTube, and
You can do that.
You can go and put it on YouTube.
Like YouTube's like, you know.
That's like next step. You have to put a camera in there.
Someone uploaded See, I love your attitude, because to you, you're like, you're doing really good, and that just means you're making an effort. You know, you're trying to do some good stuff, whether or not people love it or not. Because I always make my YouTubes, I always have like controversial names in the tags and stuff. So I always immediately get like, I have one.
You're getting great guests.
I do love my guests. Yes, I've had Sandra Shamus was an especially favorite.
Dave Hill, you had Dave Hill.
And
those are pretty some star. I thought you were getting good guests because it was getting traction.
I don't know what's happening anymore. You know, I've had some
when
people
are you
turn
go
me down.
Weekly and live up to the name.
I am going weekly.
He does four podcasts a week.
No, I've lowered.
I can't
it
keep
now.
Up with it.
I've lowered it.
It's like a weird thing, because like I think I've always felt that your podcast, you've kind of had on a low, like obviously you've had it on a high simmer, but I mean like a low simmer as far as like you don't put it out consistently.
It's every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
every 2 weeks.
You have to simmer on Smash.
You don't like, you don't make sure you, you know, like I think now, like, you know, I think there's a way, if you wanted to turn it on to high, do it weekly.
Yeah, you always tell me that. You know? He's always telling me that on the phone. And I'm always
bowing. How often are you guys on the phone together?
I call him. We talk.
Talk a bit.
Quite a bit. I'm a phone
about
person.
Wrestling?
Yeah, sure. I force him to talk about wrestling
again. You know what, Damien? That does. We did have a few conversations even when I was living
in LA.
Out of the country. Yeah.
I'm a phone person. I'm like.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I like talking on the phone more than I can move my chubby little thumbs to.
Yeah, text. Me too. I mean, it's definitely something that. Is an age shower, but I also think it's actually something that younger people might not have a problem with, but cool people our age would be like, no, cell phones came along and I am so happy I can text now, you know, and not talk to people.
Because like sometimes it takes like 14 texts that would take a 2-minute phone call.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going back and forth trying to describe something and it's like, well, that's why we have verbal communication.
And tone. Don't even forget about tone.
That's why people stop people just writing letters. Yeah.
How do you feel when you're driving and you look over and there's someone who's texting. Like staring at their phone in the driver's seat?
I hate it.
You can also multitask when you're on the phone talking to someone. I think easier than you can multitask when you're texting.
Oh, what are we doing when we're talking?
Yeah, that's what Louis C.K. did once famously.
You hear me? You hear the dab beating up. You hear me dropping the dab. You hear the record flipping over and me putting the needle down. Like, no, I do.
Imagine you could record somebody a phone call using a record. Like, you were, like, talking to him, and you, like, started the record, and it was actually recording the conversation. You know what I mean? Like, they're called records. Shouldn't they be able to record?
They did that. They did have those.
Really?
They used to have machines that could cut the record when it was recorded into wax.
Was that, like the song poem thing? No, that was different.
They used to have, well, they still do. Like, they have an active one at the Nashville...
Right,
Third Man, where you can record.
They did that in Nashville and Memphis and stuff.
Yeah, but they used to have like record lathe cutters that you can get at home. You can still get a lathe cutter at home, so you could record. My dream is I'm going to put out a podcast record soon.
Oh, I'll do a split with you. Punk. I'll do a split.
I don't know.
Those don't have good resale value, so I guess. Splits.
No one likes splits.
Yeah,
but like, should I edit this out? Because this is you. These are your ideas.
I don't know.
And they're really good. You told me this before.
Don't edit it.
Nick's going to run with it now.
We only got so much time. I know. Don't edit it.
We were talking forever before the preamble is going to be
uncensored.
Than the podcast.
Yeah. Uncensored. You know what I mean? If this were one of these garbage American podcasts where people are just trying to be controversial for controversy's sake, all the stuff we talk about before would be the podcast.
Sure.
But you know what that does? It foments toxicity, it foments confrontation, bad vibes. We're not about that. Well, positive energy.
No, the most popular podcast now are talking about people that got murdered.
I hate those podcasts.
I'm not into that.
And they fill the Sony Center, man.
Oh yeah, no, it can fill. It can
it's
fill.
Insane.
What are they? What are they? Cheap Trick?
Well, no, it's like it's honestly, it's like to me, it's like an audio version of like Answer Me's lists, minus the real sketchy stuff from Answer Me, but
the
serial
like,
killer list set to like. Yeah. Like, you know, witty banter.
Oh my God! What about when everybody on Twitter was like, you know, Ted Bundy was good looking, and I'm just like, this is what's killing me lately in society is social media and everything is so controlled by press releases now and like obvious like publicity pushes, you know, that are just edging people into like, you know, Netflix was like, everyone's attracted to Ted Bundy, right? Can this verified crappy writer just start talking about that? You know, and then suddenly it becomes, because why would something trend on Twitter? Why would they not do a sponsored trending? Well, why would they not push
because
for
this? Because we all know, like, to me, the thing that's crazy about right now is that we live in 90s underground culture.
And as a mainstream. Yeah, and as a mainstream.
No, that's totally right.
Like, yeah, this conversation
totally right.
Ted Bundy being good looking, it's like, yeah, this fucking happened. Like, we were all talking
that's
about this.
That's the best way you said it.
Yeah. Murder can be fun.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah,
like,
89 to 94 to 96. It's like, didn't you guys pay attention to what road this went down? Like, it went down, it split into two roads. The people who were like,
into not making money and just like some level of positivity, and like the Jim Goad, here we are now, he's like fully a white, you know, like a racist dude, like it, and also, but the worst part to me is just that it's 90s culture, but like 100% commodified, but people are making less than ever before, you know, so it doesn't even make sense, you know what I mean? Like, it's so crazy, yeah, like listicles and like super dismissive jokes, you know, like jokes that are like humor on Twitter that is really just saying like, well, that sucks and you're garbage, you know, and it's like a million retweets, and I can't get even that much into it, but I'm gonna like flip the script now, just so because talking about these things, like, you can't, I don't, a so lot
Nick
of it,
Flanagan Weekly is now once a week.
No, it's two or three. It's basically one interview per week. One interview per week, and like two to three solo episodes a week.
A lot of plugging his podcast.
Just check out my iTunes and smash the like.
But no,
like, break the computer. Smash the like. No, but what I'm saying is, Beto O'Rourke is like this weird sort of reversal of all of that, and he kind of sucks too. What? So it's like, because he was in like a Discord band.
Does he suck?
Okay, first of all, he was not in a Discord band, but Foss was a band that was inspired by Discord bands, yeah. Definitely. Number two, do not talk disparagingly about President Punk, because he's going to be the guy that forces all the bands we like to get back together by presidential decree. President Punk is going to be the guy who goes, you know what? No, I'm going to make this happen.
He'll be like, we need to get revival technology so that I can bring the Bob Stinson back from the grave. And everybody can have their big time.
He's going to be putting together dream bands. Like, imagine the inauguration. It's going to be a Fugazi show. And he's going to be like, Ian, I think it's a good idea if you put down the guitar at some point and grab that microphone and do filler.
He's like,
you know, and he's like stage diving.
I think there's a new Sade album coming out.
Good news.
I'll make that whole
podcast. Anytime you do a podcast with Nick, you have to cut it to ribbons. Like, you must be like,
yeah. Oh,
like,
God.
This is like a Thunder Phonics record by the time you're finished with it.
I mean, that's the problem with my podcast, is like, I'm not editing stuff out. I'm talking about being obsessed with like Owen Benjamin's spiral into insanity. I'm talking about, you know, just all kinds of problems, just, and
yeah,
you know, because I've gone crazy with the paying attention to all this shit. Like, it's,
yeah, I know, you know, I know. Yeah,
it's,
I
hard
know.
Not to, and it, because there is this level of importance to what's going on right now. But you know, Damien, you were talking to me earlier about how the frustration is that so much social criticism is like fully monetized now, and it's like, So there's actually profit to be had in conflict now, and that's probably always been true, but not in like wrestling style conflict, and like shit that matters, shit that gets people to fight. So it's like, it's frustrating. That's all, and I am watching it all.
But it's always been like that when you think about it. Like, these punk bands that made money and careers were making it off discontent too, right?
They were like making money off discontent, but how good were their careers, you know? And they were making it off generalized.
Yeah, some are really good.
Well, now their careers are good, but at the time,
the Clash did okay.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, we're talking about
Sex Pistols did all right.
Those were all very generalized. You know, it was like, I hate the Queen, you know?
That was a real thing then, right? Like, saying that shit back then was like, that was treason, right? Like, that was like a
hard... But that was trolling. Like, that was essentially original trolling.
Yeah,
like,
and that's
punk,
what I'm saying.
Like, punk had a lot of that.
It's existed for a long time, this kind of like, I don't know, but now it's different because...
Killing in the name of?
Well, now it's like, everyone gets a piece now, right? Like, anytime you get into an argument, like, your cell phone provider gets a piece. Then the social media platform that you're getting into this argument gets a piece. Yeah. And then you keep going back and checking because, I don't know, it's going to Japan and spending a lot of time in Japan, like, you really get to see that there's like otaku culture and the idea of like just being obsessed with your one thing. And now you can become obsessed with one thing, but then social media makes it such that that one thing just becomes your entire focus and your entire life, and it just keeps feeding you more and more.
But then
whatever that is, that one thing is. Like, I know people that are into wrestling that their entire worldview is shaped by wrestling.
Right.
So something political happens, it's they'll interpret it through.
They're like, I don't want Linda McMahon to lose.
No. I'm saying the opposite. It's like, it's very woke political people, but there's almost like a woke political awareness other than self-experience.
Do you like using the word woke? Does that make you uncomfortable? Very appropriated term.
I think, yeah, definitely it's an appropriated term at this point, but...
Where are the...
It's like a social hand grenade.
Here's I feel
like
I'm tapped
in. I forgot
here's
about this I aspect of being on a podcast.
There should be two reparations, you know what
I'm saying? Oh my God, Nick, you're alone on this one. You're alone on it.
One, for the original reason, and two, for stealing words and dances from African-American people and music. You know, there needs to be two levels of payback. What's wrong with that opinion? Is that so wrong? I think I'm right. And gay culture. We got to do gay reparations. And indigenous.
I think you're right. But I think right.
You don't like the way I'm saying it.
I don't like the way you're saying it.
Right. But I also thought we weren't going to go down this road.
I thought
we got all that out of our system before the mics. How about what's going on in wrestling? And yeah, like I was looking.
What do you want to know? What do you want to talk about? You're the host.
When the three of us get together, it can go in a variety of ways.
Well, it went.
I don't want to steer the ship.
It went the wrong way.
It went the wrong way just now. But let's see.
Where I tried out a bit that didn't work on
stage.
Okay,
wait a minute. I was going for how we started, which is how Damien is, you know, behind the scenes, always pushing me to be more. I don't know, aggressive, assertive with the podcast, and I've always said to him, or at least I've hopefully come off, like, I don't want, as much as I want people to listen to this podcast, I'm not going to push it. I don't want, and that it allows me to really, I don't know, because I did that with music, man, being in a band, and it was so competitive, and you get defensive and protective, and you turn into this, I don't know, this jerk. But what I love in podcasting is I can have a podcast and I can enjoy my friends' podcasts the way sometimes I couldn't enjoy my friends' bands.
Yeah. I mean, I know what you're talking about.
That's why I like to take it a step back, and that allows me to, like, you know, root for you guys.
That's where I'm still at with my podcast, in a way. Like, I feel the same way as you. And, you know, Damien, I can kind of feel that vibe even in yours as well. Like, there is a level of podcasting I don't think that is punk rock, but anyone can do it. And, you know,
I try to keep it punk, too.
Yeah, and you can sort of do them in a way. I'm a bit more interested in the things that are the podcasts that are lesser known, you know, like, and what people are doing. I don't necessarily listen to them, but I'm glad they're out there. See, I just flipped it into something weird now again.
I listen to, like, I mainly listen to wrestling content.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah. That's your niche. That's your otaku situation.
Yeah, and I find, like, that's the thing. It's like you can find so much in podcasts that are just tailored for what you're into.
I should listen to video game podcasts.
I'm sure there's an amazing video game podcast.
I haven't really found the right one yet. I listen to political ones. And
that's apparent.
I listened to the 1,000th episode of WTF, which was amazing. I recommend that to any aspiring podcasters out there. It's actually a really good discussion with the producer of WTF, and they get deep into the details of how the show is shaped. And I thought that was great.
With Damien's podcast, I mean, there's been times where I've been out on the road.
Nice.
And I remember this especially because I think I texted you.
We were in
Spain, and I was so homesick.
Yeah.
So I listened to your podcast, and I texted you.
I forget who Allison was on, right? It was someone local.
Chris Callahan.
Vile Tones.
Freddie Pompey. Rest in peace. Pompey.
Yeah, he's gone. How many people have passed on to the great beyond who you've had on TOAP?
Three.
Who are they? This is a fun...
Freddie Pompey, Anthony Bourdain, and my mom.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
It's okay. I just did on a 200th episode, and I went back, and I was like, wow, three people.
That's brutal.
It's definitely... that's the thing that's wild about... that's the thing I love about having a podcast is, but as much as it's like content for other people, for me, it's almost like a time capsule of my hopes and dreams.
That's how I see it too when I listen back to old episodes.
Same for me too.
Oh, I was there back then. I was thinking that.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was going through, because I'm pulling down all the footnotes episodes recently to put in beyond like this Patreon thing.
Uh-huh.
So I was going through the show notes, and it's amazing. I'll sometimes in like the show notes for those, I'll put like, oh, and so and so sent in some cool contribution, and it's like amazing to see how many people like you for Nick and I, but like how many people like wrote in that are now out doing their own podcast, and it's like, oh wow, they were somehow, you know, inspired in some small way by this thing that I did too.
Yeah, I love getting, even on some level, I'm getting people happy that I'm talking about like ADD or whatever, mm-hmm. and like mental health stuff, and that's really interesting to me. And it sucks because in a way, because it's just rocked my idea of like comedy, you know, I mean, as being the most important thing. And it's kind of because to me in comedy, one of my favorite things is connecting, you know, mm-hmm. maybe that comes back to being in a band or something, because that's like such a key thing, is just like connecting with the audience, especially as the three of us do, you know, but as anyone in a band does this with, and I don't know, I just love that about the podcast, you know. It's like I love making jokes, but I get a lot out of people just being like, hey, you know, this reminded me of this, it's cool hearing you do this, or it's like soothing listening to this, like it's really interesting to me.
You have your brother is the producer. He is the person who gets all the letters and emails and all that stuff.
Yeah,
from people, right?
I used to check it, and I found it was like too hard to try and keep up with.
Yeah,
and then I felt like I was letting people down, and then you get like
I'm still not responding to everything.
Yeah, and there's like a lot of things where it's like
I don't even know how
a lot of publicity people writing to like pitch people.
Oh, that's the curse of music stuff, I think.
That's like, great, too. Yeah, once in a while, there's something that's amazing to kind of, like, that makes sense. But, for me, like, a lot of the booking of the show feels, like, I don't know, kind of intuitive. I've got a couple episodes coming up that are really awesome with, like, I got this this meme artist, Poundland Bandit, coming on.
I tried to get in Zane Johnny on my podcast. We were that close, but he was like, you got to come to the show, and I was like,
that's Wolf Eyes guy, right?
Yeah it's not Olsen, it's John Olsen
of American Tape.
Wolf Eyes are super good. I didn't think so before. I shouldn't say that. Don't say I didn't think so. Wolf Eyes are really good. I love what
Wolf Eyes are like. Sun-O to me. How do you watch a show?
I don't think to see them is a
good thing. They have one record that's a lot more song.
Yeah, they have some records that, when you hear the records, I would say I've seen them before. I saw them open for Negative Approach, and it was, like Sun-O, it was really extreme. But I've listened to the records, and there are shifts. There's like a lot of really interesting use of sound. It's like, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. And then the amount
He's down with AL, right?
Yeah.
Him and AL are down.
Yeah, AL Senior. You got to have him on the... I've had him on my podcast so
I've
much.
Heard. I heard that episode.
Yeah,
Have you done Nick's podcast?
No, we were talking about
today.
I really
want to have you on. We should do
I said he's going to come on my podcast, and he asked me if I'd run an ad, and I said, why don't you just come on the show instead?
I want to do an ad swap. I think that's going
to
bring in...
What, like listen to the Nick Flanagan podcast?
Well, you know, I'll do a little ad.
Do you have a commercial? Like
I want to do like, you know, like a...
I'll run it on this one.
Yeah.
I said, why don't you just come on the show as a guest? It feels weird. I'm in like a promo spot. I've never had a promo spot for anything.
Well, this is your big chance.
Send it to me. Are you finished it?
No, I haven't made it yet.
I like your intro music.
Oh, yeah. Nick Flanagan.
It's cool I mean, it's also cool because, like, everyone's podcast style is completely different, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah.
Mine is like mine is really aping Colt Cabana's thing with like obviously throwing in some other things I picked up from other wrestling stuff.
I don't listen to it, so Colt Cabana, know it's you.
It's funny because like I don't listen to WTF, and that's no.
I listened to the Colt Cabana episode of that.
Yeah. But Colt Cabana was someone I got into. There's this live audio wrestling, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. CIUT. Do you remember? Do you ever listen to Dan's show on CIUT?
They've been around for years, and they sponsored or like were involved
with organizing pay-per-view viewings at this bar called O'Grady's in the late 90s, early 2000s. But Dan, and I would go to those.
You definitely know Dan from around because he's like kind of comic zine, music.
The Mouth.
Culture. The Mouth.
You don't know The Mouth?
Dr. Mouth's Medicine Cabinet.
Hello, what's up?
He was a huge CIUT guy.
Oh, I'm sure he was a Danko guy, too.
It was like him and Thor Vlachwin. Yeah. If we're really getting into deep Toronto.
Those are names that I know.
Thor's leather BFG's shorts.
Dude. Thor was more of a BFG's market punk dude beforehand, but Dan was like the... Dan held it down on, I think, Wednesday nights was his thing, and he would always do, like... He'd always play Hawkwind and Motorhead.
Yeah, he was a humongous Hawkwind fan.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he was involved in comic stuff and zine stuff in the city. Anyway, he was also... He had this double life, basically, where he was... Not double life, like he was keeping a secret. But he also had this other thing where he was involved in this thing called live audio wrestling. And it was him and... I can't remember the other guy's name, but the other guy now runs hockey for TSN.
Like Michael Landsberg.
No, it's not Michael Landsberg. It's like someone...
But
like,
Michael Landsberg was in the mix with all this stuff.
Yeah, like it's all... There's all like weird like... sports connections and stuff to it, like, too. And, like, Trish Stratus was involved in the show for a minute.
Remember?
And, but then there's these two guys, John Pollock, who became the show producer when Nick was still listening to it. Nick used to listen to this podcast.
Yes, I did.
The show, too.
And you'd listen to it online. You'd get that weird sidebar audio player come up in the second window.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
They were also on Iceberg Radio when I was on Iceberg Radio.
Iceberg Slim?
Iceberg Radio was a digital radio thing. That I was on with Mods and Rockers after we got kicked off CIUT.
Who is the mod and who is the rocker in that mix?
I think JC was the mod and the rocker, and I was the hardcore kid with pop punk leaning tastes, and Sandy was the zine making pop punk kid.
Mods and Rockers was very formative for me. Not your era of and Rockers, but listening to Jeff
Ed
Cohen
Fox.
On CIUT. Jeff Cohen.
But with Ed Fox too?
I don't remember Ed Fox being on it. And Jeff Cohen, who's a promoter in Toronto.
Well, you can't call him Jeff Cohen. He's like, that's like telling the world of Gotham that, oh, you know, that billionaire dude, that's Batman.
Jeff Collector.
JC.
But then people think it'll be Junkout Brazy, the member of
Dark Knight. You're right, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah,
you got Mods and Rockers, right. JC.
But yeah, he lived across the street from me. And and I would say hi. And, like, this was a weird thing I did growing up where I would just, and I'm sure both of you are familiar with this, where you would, like, reach out to the people whose work you enjoyed.
It's called being a punisher.
Yeah, totally.
Brian Taylor.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all were punishers. Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, is being a punisher, this generation's punisher is the next generation's lead singer. Because it takes a special kind of mental kind of like fuck up that would make you want to go out on stage and just do something so unnatural, like perform.
Yeah.
And it's also the same thing that makes you want to, like, consume all you can from these people, like, information-wise, and just be like, and you want to talk to them, and you want to, you know, like, I think that's, being a punisher, like, you know, it's a bad thing when you have to deal with it as a musician.
But it's like, better if you're a teen doing it. Like, if I were out at a show and some kid was asking me a million questions, I'd be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
How'd you get in here? But this is great.
Yeah.
And how did I get into those shows? Most of them weren't all ages, you know?
Yeah, you find your way in. But anyway, so I met these guys, like, post-wrestling now is what they do. They used to do live audio wrestling. And then through them, I heard about Colt Cabana. And that's how I got into just ripping off Colt Cabana's thing. But, like, so I'm trying to do Colt Cabana-style podcast mixed with post-wrestling styles podcast. You're doing your own style podcast every 2 weeks. You're doing yours
all the time. Yeah, Mark Maron's, like, ramble in the intro.
Mine's a hodgepodge. Mine is, like, the solo episodes are... essentially, like, I'm splitting up the Marc Maron monologue and show. So the monologue are, like, separate episodes, but I have music playing underneath for, like, people to relax with, because like, royalty-free music or sometimes live musicians playing behind it, which Danko was going to hopefully do tomorrow.
If you can get me a guitar.
Should be able to, yeah.
We'll do I'm an Adult Now.
Yeah, we're going to do a little cover.
That might not be royalty-free. Maybe you shouldn't say that's what you're doing.
We gotta figure it out. We can play. I think we can play like 25 seconds of it. Yeah, I think I'm willing to take some chances.
Yeah, I'm sure Mo won't.
I don't. You know what? If these episodes are lost to time,
you guys are taking chances with people very close to your circle. Yeah.
But it's
like, especially if we like tag him in the post.
And I love the Duncan Trussell podcast style of like editing it himself, making weird little songs. So I like that too. And then having, I'm still trying to figure out what the interview style exactly is going to be, but I'm enjoying it.
So I like, far. Yeah. Like I think it's like, that's the thing I like about this thing is you can find something you like and just dive in, and there's different ways of consuming this
I'm
media.
Just such
like
a general Cabana. Person in terms of what I do, and I think that has to reflect well, in my
work. You've helped me with this podcast. Like you said something to me that I've incorporated now for years. You said, "Why do you have guests but don't tell the audience who what band they're from or what they're known for?" Right. And I just I realized, "Oh, that's 'cause I know who they are." Maybe someone else. So I do that for every episode. And then there was something else that you said that I can't remember now. I lost the train of thought. But yeah, just you've helped this podcast out.
Well, I think that because I wouldn't be doing a podcast without you. So it's just paying it back in some small way. But like, I think that's, you know, this Colt Cabana podcast, it was him being a fan of Mark Maron's podcast. No, he was Mark Maron's podcast or something else.
I think
so. Was Maron's? And then, so he was trying to do. He said, okay, I want to do what he does with his comedian friends, but I want to do it with wrestlers. Yeah. And so for me, I was like, I want to do what they're doing, but do it with people in bands and people like just, you know. And I've always also just been fascinated by like the conversation with someone, like, how did you find out about this thing that's not popular?
Yeah, you hyper-focus on this one question, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's how you start your discussion, and it goes wherever it goes.
I think that's always a good move. It's like my buddy Chris. Yeah, he's got that Utopia to Me show, and it's like Chris Locke, and he asks people, well, what would be your ideal utopian world, you know? And from there, you talk about who the person is, what they've
then
done.
I'd have to like.
You kind of do that.
Damien's is so direct. It's like, how'd you get into punk? And I love that question.
Yeah,
it's a question you have to love.
Yeah, no, that's the thing.
I love that.
It's like my music taste. Like I realize, like that's the thing about podcasts now. Like at one point when podcasts were first kind of hitting, the whole thing was you want to get as many listeners as possible.
Right.
You want to have something that a million people listen to.
Rogan!
But now it's like, and then there's still, and that's like the model, right? You know?
Yeah,
like,
but
there's, but I think to me, the new thing that's happened, which is like through these kind of sponsorship websites where you can have people can directly contribute to your podcast or through like various other kind of things where you can just build something that's just so narrow focused. Like your Three's Company podcast, right? Like,
well, I got that's what I was going to say. I got the idea from you with your Oil and Flowers, and I was like, wow, you can do another podcast?
Yeah.
I just had it, I don't have it like ingrained in the feed, but I separated
We're doing that now too. I'm taking it out of the feed. Uh-huh. Because at one point I thought that was kind of the way to go, was to put them in the feed, but now I realize, especially with Oil and Flowers, because that's more Buddha's podcast anyway, Buddha Blaze, who is the host.
On What's that one about?
Weed.
Cannabis. I see.
And then he's got a wrestling one that I was on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I haven't done in forever since I started producing the wrestling TV show. But now that now that hasn't come out, maybe I'll go back to making it.
Would that be problematic?
No. It's just Vice is, we don't know. I'm hoping for the best. Any day now. I'm hoping to get information. They're putting out another wrestling show that was made just after ours was coming up now. So hopefully that's the beginning of it.
Yeah, I think I saw some trailer for it.
I think you're going to love that one. Dark Side of the Ring. It's more your kind of era of wrestling.
I saw a trailer for it, yeah.
I think with podcasts you can kind of like, you know, you can make it whatever you want and talk about whatever you want.
And the other thing that you helped me out with this podcast is not getting killed.
Yeah, that time.
That was a big thing.
Well, that was the time.
Why didn't you?
We can't talk about it. That's but it's.
I kind of remember.
I've like the one thing I kind of feel that I've helped you with. Like there was a couple
twice, or three times. Yeah, where I come to Damien going, "Hey, I'm gonna bounce this thing off of you," and then he goes, "Don't do that."
Yeah, like I think that's I don't know about a lot of things in the world. Like, we're driving over, and Nick's like, how do you not know about this thing? And I'm like, I don't know. Because all I know about...
You gotta have ContraPoints on Turned Out of Punk. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I would definitely... Now that you've tipped me to ContraPoints, I'm gonna have ContraPoints, hopefully, I'm gonna reach out about it. But I think, at the same time, like, I know a shit ton about, like, just, like, really narrow streams of culture and music.
I have that going on. We all have that going on, I think.
But yeah, I think so. And it's just like...
Yeah, but...
But that's all I know. Yeah, yeah, that's all of us.
The shit you know can save lives.
Yeah, but like if you were like if we're walking through the forest and you got bitten by a snake,
right?
I'd be like, I don't know what to do.
Dude, I know what I do.
Can't you ask me about something?
What you do is you quickly take out your penknife. You shave off your mustache and your lower beard so that your lips are like completely visible and doable, and then you suck out the venom from the bite.
Why would I have to suck out my lips and shave my face?
Because you probably won't get as much venom out if you've got the hair in front of your lips.
That's
your
hand.
Damien's kissing
my hand. I'm getting good suction there, right? Like I got good suction.
There was good suction, but the suction if you shave your mustache.
Well, how do you... Are you sucking like this with like
the guy's dying?
Yeah, like I'm looking at a bed. You do not know what to do when someone gets stuck by
it's
a snake.
It's not just the guy. Stung it's by a you.
Bitten.
You're dying
yeah, Danko,
in this situation.
Who do you want to save you? You want me like
put the what forest?
Nick's
gonna
get
the razor away.
Nick's trying to film a Gillette commercial. I'm sucking the poison as fast as I can.
Here's what I'm doing. Right, so you get bit by a snake in the forest. Right, so I look around. That's what I'm first doing. I take out the penknife. And I cut off a little bark, and I spit on the bark, and then I make a little dagger out of the bark, right? And then I dig out this venom from your wound.
You can't dig out
venom. No, here's what actually happens. Dan gets bit by the snake. Nick reaches into his pocket, pulls out the cell phone, goes live on Twitch, like, yo, what up, Twitch? It's me, Flans. I'm here with my man Danko. He's bleeding out, but I'm going to try and make a knife and save him.
It's a lot harder to go live on Twitch with a phone than you're making it. Maybe if I'm playing, you know, Clash of Clans or something, I can go live on Twitch.
When you close your eyes, it's like that scene in the movie The Beach when he's all of a sudden in the video game.
When I close my eyes, I see the end screen from the game Phantasy Star 1 for Sega Master System.
He's looking around the table right now and we look like the two guys from Double Dragon.
Bill, Bimmy, Jimmy, it's you guys. Remember one of them was called Bimmy accidentally?
No, was he called Bimmy?
No, I didn't know that.
It was Bimmy and Jimmy in one of the Double Dragon games.
Did you play that at home?
I had the Sega Master System Double Dragon 1, and that was an amazing port of it. It was the best port of it until maybe Double Dragon 2 for
you know
for
Retro NES Brothers, was, right? In Toronto?
The
Retro Brother at the store?
No, I haven't been there. I've been to ANC.
I've been there.
Check it out.
You should check it out.
Yeah, I'm all about the games these days.
Sounds like you would get along with those guys. Yeah, it's all just old game systems and games, cartridges. Everywhere.
I got to buy a Dreamcast soon.
Dude, so you're going to trade that comic book for two video games and you don't even have the fucking system?
What's wrong with you, man?
Don't do this!
It's so I can do better trades. You see what I'm saying? It's like, either I buy a Dreamcast or I trade them for, like, higher value games for other systems. Don't you do this with records?
No. No, I wouldn't trade, like... Hey, here's this amazing killer record. I'm going to trade it for a mini disc.
I'm trading Ghost World, right? Signed Ghost World.
A signed Ghost World. World. That's signed to you.
Well, that makes it worth less.
But you met him.
Signed to you personally?
Yeah.
It's kind
of. No one's going to buy that.
It's kind of irreplaceable.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's kind of irreplaceable at the same time. Like, that's what I'm realizing now. Like, I went through my mom's stuff recently because my mom passed away. And so I'm going through stuff and I found, to me, like legitimately a priceless artifact. She had kept a flyer from my very first show.
Oh, I saw that post.
And I'm like, when I found that, I was like, holy fuck, like this is worthless. Like this is really, truly worthless.
I'll buy it.
But no, well, that's what I'm saying. Like to me now, it's priceless. Like, and that is irreplaceable. Like it's amazing the things that.
Yeah, the stuff my parents have.
Yeah, but
I don't want to keep that.
Like what emotional attachment do you have to those video games? When you pull that out, that Ghost World, and you're like, fuck, I remember meeting Daniel Klaus. I remember being outside of Beguiling waiting. I remember like the people that worked at Beguiling. I'm touching that.
I remember
right
let's talk about that night now because that was a very cool time. That was when the cartoonist Seth was getting married. So all of these graphic novelists were in town and they all did a panel talk at the Bloor Cinema in Toronto. And it was Ivan Brunetti and Adrian Tomine and Daniel Klaus and Seth and Joe Matt, and I guess that was it. And maybe Chester Brown, I don't know.
Kind of like a murderer's row of independent cartoonists.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's
And also Chris Ware. as well.
Oh, because that was when they did the signing at the Beguiling.
It was actually at the theater.
Okay, yeah. Because my dad went and bought a Chris Ware piece for me because I couldn't go.
And Ghost World wasn't even out. In theaters, it was a one-time screening of it. Mm. And then they were doing, signings afterwards. And I remember seeing Andre Brunetti, who's a huge influence on, Johnny Ryan, let's say. Like, he had his Haw comic that was all, one-panel filthy stuff. And I said to him, how much of your work is based out of shame? And he said, all of it. And Klaus was nice. But I think Ghost World's going to wind up being problematic in a few years, so I'm just trying to get ahead of the game by getting rid of it.
It is, but it's also that, I don't know. Maybe because I don't have the same attachment to video games that other people do. Like, I cannot imagine watching someone else play a video game.
I can't. I don't get that.
But I've liked watching people play. Before I started collecting games again, I would sometimes watch old games of mine getting played. On YouTube, just to be like, oh yeah, Miracle Warriors, that was like this. And then once I started playing, I don't really watch playthroughs, but I do watch Fortnite. Fortnite YouTube is kind of interesting to me.
Fuck, really?
There's lots of Fortnite experts and stuff giving tips, and it's just a huge industry, so it interests me to watch it on a cultural anthropologist level, and also to improve.
You know, you have as a guest.
I was gonna say.
You know, you have as a guest on your podcast.
Fortnite creator.
Well, no, my son Holden, who's 9 years old.
Oh, that'd be great.
He plays Fortnite.
Well, he's just obsessed with it in the same way you are. Like, he watches YouTube videos of
people playing. Yeah, kids love watching people playing Fortnite specifically, and it's because Fortnite is a fairly violent concept in that you're shooting people and blowing stuff up, but there's no blood, right? And it's very cartoony looking. So I think that mutes it enough that it's the toxicity of that comes out when you have the microphone on and you're playing it against.
Or another reading of it could
swearing be... swearing children.
That removes it even more from the realm of reality. So, kids are more detached.
I don't know. I think... I always refuse to, I think that there's a lot of interactivity in a group game. You can have squads, and you're all on your headsets talking to your friends, So I think that the detachment is from maybe the other players to some extent. I just can't put that all on I can't. I'm never really going to be the person who puts video game stuff on people's behavior outside of that world, unless it's more about rudeness or something, something that's less not shootings. And I know that's where you're going. That's not where you're going.
Hitman and Splinter Cell and all that shit.
Well,
what are they called?
First person shooters.
Yeah, I mean, maybe those ones are more like that, but I think Fortnite is, it has dances related to it. You know what I mean? It's somewhat lighthearted, and it has a big community built around it. So I just think because it seems to have one of the less toxic online things compared to Overwatch, compared to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Call of Duty is the reason people do swatting. So for that reason, I actually will amend what I'm saying. There is a horrible, horrible world around that, but I think Fortnite, because maybe it has a younger fan base, is a little less horrible.
It's also just a contributing, there's a reason, military services use these games as recruitment tools.
That's invest in them. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Fortnite is
not Fortnite, but I think, I don't think...
First person shooter.
But I think it's just the idea that this is we live in a culture where we normalize certain behaviors because it benefits the culture, right? It benefits, militarization to have these things glamorized.
No, I agree with you. I mean, I agree with you about, all of those first-person shooter games. I should have amended it. And it's like Call of Duty. Literally, someone was, this week, sentenced to 20 years in jail for swatting someone during call, for some Call of Duty
offense. Oh, I saw that.
Guy just walks out.
He showed up to his house and it was the wrong address.
To me, it's...
No,
people... This guy calls. He says... what do you mean it was the wrong address on the person?
Gave him the wrong address on purpose.
That's even crazier. I didn't realize that was the element. Yeah. But that thing where you call a SWAT team as a prank is that's a level we're at as a culture that
maybe video games are part of the stew, but there's like so much else going on to create this. And unfortunately, WWF Attitude is in the mix.
Oh, no, I think, I honestly think we've even talked about this on the show. I think professional wrestling in America is more than just in the mix. I think
it's at the forefront.
It's where Donald Trump learned how to cut a promo. Yeah. It's like where he was introduced to the people that would make up his base. Yeah. You know, prior to that, if you look at the demographics for The Apprentice, it's skewed kind of diverse. It's skewed like actually kind of progressive in some ways. And he was like...
And he was also a laughing... Like, to a me, laughing stock. He was like a humorous element of The Apprentice. And
he was a buffoon that, like, in Spy Magazine, you know? And the people that knew about him were, like, real estate people in New York or, like, people... Like, you know, he was not a populist figure.
Yeah.
Then he, you know, and then he obviously became a populist figure over time. Apprentice helped in that. But, like, his WWE run where all of a sudden he's, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin in the middle of the ring shaving Vince McMahon's head, the chosen enemy of the people... It's like that's the
boy. And now Linda McMahon is going to help him is on step down to be on his re-election team, and that was something I thought about. I was actually going to talk it on the podcast. I know you don't like
talking.
But I was thinking about this, like, wow, you know, nobody talks about Linda McMahon and her involvement in all of this and what that adds to it, and because when I was listening to somebody talking about. Donald Trump recently, they were saying how in his base, like they were saying they talked to his base and they were like, he's funny as shit. Like, he is so funny, and that is what we love about him. And it goes, wow. And that made me think, wow, like, if you think someone's funny, you know, it completely redirects your understanding of them and your sympathy to them, like, you know, into a very positive space 9 times out of 10, you know? And so, and I mean, obviously, maybe we all think Trump's funny or whatever sometimes, like, because it's so ridiculous, but we don't have that sympathy. But that's actually maybe a minority
viewpoint. When you're joking with someone and you both laugh at the same joke, there's like... trust exchanged.
Yeah, right? Except there's someone, of course, never laughing. He's going, you know, am I wrong? You know, and that was like an Andy Kindler joke. It's like where he said Trump's like a comedian. Like, he's just like, look at this guy, and this guy's doing this, and that guy's over there doing that. You know,
yeah. Like, if you talk to,
am I wrong?
And like, and well, like, it's also, you learn how to cut a promo. You learn how to deal with a hostile crowd. There's a reason people in wrestling keep transitioning into politics so seamlessly and keep getting elected, is because they know politics. Wrestling is kayfabe. Wrestling is, and politics is kayfabe. Politics is the idea that we all know these people are lying, yet we want to believe them.
And I do think...
I was just watching something where the guy, the lead actor was like in his 40s, and he was trying to
court beautiful some girls,
middle age. No, like 25-year-old, and it was totally fine. Where was that? I just saw a movie.
Good as It Gets.
I can't remember. It could be anything.
Isn't it As Good as It Gets? Isn't it like Helen Hunt and Jack Nicholson? Do they have?
Yeah, yeah. As Good as It Gets.
That might as well be the same.
Yeah. Well, how old was he? Was in his late 60s. Yeah, he's like 60s. She was in her.
Don't you want to go out with a 70-year-old with obsessive compulsive disorder? I hate the gay guy down the road. Why don't you want to go out with me? I'd love to. I mean, I wouldn't love to, but you've beaten me into loving you too.
As Good as It Gets doesn't stand up.
Well, that's I never saw
it. Well, like, you know, the other one that is High Fidelity, you think about that?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a guy complaining about girls not liking him for the whole movie.
Is that what that was?
He's like, he's complaining that his girlfriends don't still love him. Then he goes around and says, oh, they all suck.
A girl told me to read High Fidelity.
It was at one point, it was very, you know.
So, like, that's impossible. It's problematic.
I liked it because it was.
The taste is really good in it.
It was though. Like, yeah, well, in the movie, yeah. It's different than the book. The book's more skewed to, like, UK.
Country-ish. Yeah.
And then. It was like Touch and Go, Chicago, all that.
Yeah, there's a deleted scene where on the DVD where he goes over to Beverly D'Angelo's house to buy her ex-husband's 45 collection after he leaves her for a younger woman. And she's like, and he's looking through and he's like, oh my God, how much money? And it's in the book too. And they start listing off the records. Yeah. Like, and it's like,
that's why,
you know, like Elvis on King, and it's like, or Elvis on Son, and it's like James Brown King. It's going through all the labels, Sex Pistols and A&M. And in the Beverly D'Angelo scene in the movie, he's pulling out the records of the same records. So they actually had like Sex Pistols on A&M in the A&M sleeve.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, this scene is amazing. Like, that was my favorite scene in movie history. Beverly D'Angelo and Rare Punk Records in a movie.
Guys, I'm going to go.
Okay, you got to be somewhere at 1.
Right? I got to be somewhere at 1. I want to go home first, so it's...
Well, thanks for coming down, guys.
I
got to
get my dialectical behavior therapy workbook. It's at home.
You have some sort of session today?
I got a session.
We can talk about this, because you talked about mental health.
But we can't talk about it now, because it's got to go, too.
Yeah, you got to go.
Well, next time. Maybe we'll do a solo. Maybe tomorrow on my podcast, we can have a conversation about it.
Continued on. This is like, this is your way of plugging your own...
Maybe tomorrow I'll have both of you guys on at the same time. We could do another.
I'm around tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
I'm an adult now. I'm an adult now. I got the problems of an adult on my head to my shoulders. I'm an adult now. I'm an adult now. I'm an adult now. I'm an adult. I got the problems of an adult from my head to my shoulders.
I'm an adult now.
Yeah. No.